You're listening to WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one.
Hello, I'm Jim Burns, the Libertarian candidate for Cincinnati mayor. There is a nonpartisan primary on Tuesday, September 10th. The Democrats have been in control of Cincinnati for over 40 years. If you are not satisfied with the job they are doing and you would like to have a real choice in November, vote for the real fiscal conservative, Jim Burns, in the primary on Tuesday, September 10th.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse Jim Burns for Cincinnati mayor.
Paid for by Jim Burns, campaign for Liberty brother William Moore Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse the Ohio Rights Group and the Ohio Cannabis Rights Amendment.
Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
Coming up next is Hemp Rock Radio on
WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Speaking for the legalization of marijuana.
Do you wanna? Marijuana. Do you wanna marijuana with me?
Hi, Hemp Rockers. Welcome to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, featuring the Hemp Rock Cafe and Pottsbury Bakery.
Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and Burn Man's 420.
When you go to the polls Tuesday, September 10th, do something important for liberty. Vote for me, Jim Burns, for mayor of Cincinnati. The two Democrats running for mayor voted the same 830 times and used your tax money to sue gun manufacturers. I'm the only candidate who's a fiscal conservative, endorsed by Coast, and lifelong member of the NRA. Vote for me, Jim Burns, on Tuesday, September 10th.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse Jim Burns for Cincinnati mayor.
Paid for by Jim Burns, campaign for Liberty brother William Moore Treasurer.
All right, this is the Happy Hemptress at the Hemp Rock headquarters in the WEED Radio Network studios. It is something that is so important that I am ending the summer for Hemp Rock and kicking off fall shows, or end of summer shows, I should say, with a hot topic right now in the Cincinnati area. Of course, you are listening to Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and there's going to be some interesting things we're going to be talking about over the next 15, 20 minutes or so. And, of course, my awesome guest that I'm so thrilled to have in my studios here is Jim Burns, a Libertarian candidate for mayor in the race in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2013. And I have to say, I'm normally pretty in tune on what's going on in local politics, but I missed what is happening in the Cincinnati area. And that's not only are we going to be talking about the mayor's race in general, but the main topic is how the Cincinnati area is running the mayor's race in 2013. for mayor of Cincinnati. And my guest, of course, again, is Libertarian candidate Jim Burns. Jim, thank you for coming on such short notice to the WEED studios and Hemp Rock Radio.
Well, I'm delighted to be here tonight. This is my 15th time running for office, and every time I've run for office, it's been on a part of my platform has been re-legalizing marijuana. It's high time we do that. We're tired of being harassed by the police. I'd like to see all of your listeners be able to grow pots of marijuana plants on their backyard or next to their tomato plants in their garden.
Absolutely. And they complement each other, by the way. So now I'm just going to get the joking aside. Your name really is Jim, quote unquote, Burns. This is not just because you're trying to push this. And of course, my joke is that you can be the Burn Man, since our friend Burn Man is no longer with us. But you actually say that there is a nickname that people have given you.
Well, yes, more and more people are calling me the Marijuana Man.
The Marijuana Man with the name Burns. Now, of course, it is B-E-R-N-S. You can find his pages in Facebook and elsewhere on the web.
Yeah, we have a website, jimburnsformayor.com.
Wonderful.
It's very interesting. If you search Jim Burns, hundreds of articles with my position on re-legalizing marijuana will come up, and many video and audio clips. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And now the first time I heard about you, and this just is an example of, excuse me, but the other crappy media in town covers elections, okay? You didn't know about my organization and my show, and of course that's because it was on a station that is almost off the air now that does not do regular news and get information out there, and so there was just no contact from the little sources that we had to get out there. And then when you did at least get some press coverage 2-3 months ago now, that's what it was. Jim Burns, mayor candidate with the Libertarian Party, is giving out marijuana plants at such and such a time, and I went, okay, now what's this shtick this guy's got going on? And I, of course, watched the shtick. I couldn't make the event, and I suspected that it would be tomato plants, because obviously you would be in trouble if you gave out 48 plants. And I have to say, my assumption, you can tell me whether or not I'm right or wrong, Jim, when you first did that and gave out the 48 plants, wasn't that to represent the other 48 states that have not legalized marijuana yet?
Well, what a good way of looking at that. We'd certainly like all 50 states to have at least medical marijuana legalized. And quite frankly, I'm in favor, and even maybe even more so, recreational and other uses for marijuana. It's such a much safer alternative from alcohol. I fear that my son would get a little drunk on alcohol and go out and wreck a car, kill himself or someone.
Or somebody else, yeah.
Much, much safer to get a little high, enjoy yourself with a little pot or weed, and avoid the dangers of alcohol.
Absolutely. Now, you know, we like to throw the word high around, but let's explain really what that means to the pot smoker. I don't know if you smoke. I don't think you do.
I've never smoked it. I do suffer from insomnia. I'm tempted to ask you for a couple cookies to try.
Now, there you go. It's always good to try something. That's right. And I guarantee you it'll help you relax and help you sleep. But, you know, it really, you know, and here's the essence. It makes you euphoric feeling, a little bit lightheaded to some degree, maybe not really lightheaded, but just uplifted in thought and in awareness, and then you feel good and you're happy. And so my question has always been, why do people have to go to jail for being happy and feeling good? And of course that is the pleasure police, the feel good police. They're regulating, as Gatewood, another alleged perpetual candidate, has always said, we don't want them in our body fluids, our blood, and our urine. But that's what they want to do. They want to legislate our body fluids and what we put into it. And as a matter of fact, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about for a few minutes is the Ohio Rights Group, who's putting out the petition for legalizing medical marijuana and hemp in the state of Ohio right now. You can find them at ohiorights.org. Mary Jane Borden, who is one of the leaders in that organization, she put out a paper many years ago called Chemical Bigotry. I urge everybody and yourself, Jim, to look up the paper Chemical Bigotry, because it's it in a nutshell that it is, instead of being bigoted against the color of our skin or the length of our hair, it is what we're putting in our bodies. Which chemical in the world do we choose? And we happen to choose one that makes up a green plant, many chemicals, and the main one being THC, because that's what they look for in urine tests. Is, you have that chemical in your pee? Where's your papers? Okay. Well, now, and actually, that's what medical is, and I support medical states, and I support this in all ways. But think about it for a minute. In order to say my marijuana should be legal, I have to show a paper from a doctor. They did that with alcohol during Prohibition, and that eventually ended. So I believe, actually, in full legalization, where whether it be the government or whatever, if there's a minimal tax within the same tax burden of any retail tax, no more than the regular retail tax, I do support that. But that doesn't take away that I also believe and know for a fact personally that marijuana is also a medicine, and whether you use it because you have a headache or because you just want to go relax doesn't really matter. And I think that's what you mean.
Yes, absolutely. I've been a libertarian for over 30 years, and we libertarians believe that you have the right to run your own life. And if you want to do a little pot, that's okay. You want to try this drug for some other issue you're having, that should be a matter of personal choice. You shouldn't have the government police telling you what you can and cannot try. Yeah. I really, really support your right to make these decisions. And libertarians envision a real small, inexpensive government, and not this behemoth that we have now, which is infringing on many, many of our liberties and has grown so far beyond what the framers of the United States had in mind. And I think it's very, very important to re-legalize marijuana. The police can direct their activities towards real crime. Marijuana prohibition spawns the activities of the mafia and the drug cartels. I've visited Mexico many, many times, and now because of the drug prohibition laws and the crime that the prohibition laws spawn, I can't go there anymore.
I won't go. I tell everybody, do not vacation down in Mexico no matter where you go. And I have former activist friends that used to live in Cincinnati that during the second time that Bush won office, they happened to be in Lake Chapala, and they were down there visiting because they know people down there, and a lot of the Americans have moved down there, and they went to a gringo party, as they would say, and everybody was crying in their beers that night because Kerry had lost. And so my friends went out the next day and rented a house, and now they actually own a home down there. And so the joke is, of course, they're the American Mexicans down there. And I fear for them sometimes, even though they're 14 hours south of Guadalajara. There's already stuff all over Guadalajara and all those areas, and it's creeping into the areas. And I fear for people all over the state of Mexico, or the country of Mexico, rather, and other countries surrounding them because of the drug war that we perpetuate down there. We have created the deaths, and the blood is on our hands, not only by our laws, but by our ATF that sold guns to the crooks and said, oops, we don't know where they went now. Oh, well.
It's such a crime, and I think American politicians do not have the empathy for the Mexican families who lose sons and daughters, and where the police, you're afraid to become a policeman or a police chief because you're going to be killed. It spawns so much lawlessness, and you know, a larger part of this would be fixed if they just re-legalized marijuana. And it's such a useful plant. I'm very glad that the Ohio Rights Organization included in their petition industrial hemp. Can
Absolutely.
You educate me a little bit about some of the industrial uses for the hemp plant?
Well, for instance, you can go right now to grocery stores here in town. Kroger's is some, Whole Foods. I believe that Trader Joe's, some of the natural food stores as well. They sell products such as hemp milk. There's three or four brands. Kroger's carries two of the brands of hemp milk. They come in vanilla, chocolate, regular, things like that. Sweetened, unsweetened, if you want to go healthier, which I prefer to do now. At some of the stores, you can get shelled hemp seed, which, you know, for those of us that know, it's pot seeds, except that it's the variety that Canada grows, which is very low THC, therefore you can't grow a plant that'll get you high. Okay. But you know, whether I'm not going to debate whether or not that takes away anything in the plant by making that THC lower, that's another debate. The fact is, though, it still provides the health benefits, which is omega-3s, 6s, and 9s in the only complete balanced omegas, has all the essential amino acids. It has fibers in it. And the beauty of that is if you take one farmer's, say he grows 10 acres, out of all of those 10 acres, when that nice tall sativa seedy plant of hemp grows, you can break all the seeds out of it and half of the oil you can put in a diesel engine and run a diesel.
Is that right?
Right then.
Wow.
And the other half you can make salad dressing. Or you can take a fourth of it for salad dressings and the other fourth make plastics, because all plastic comes from oil-based
I had no idea how productive the hemp plant is.
Now, that's still just the same crop. Now, once you get the seeds out, then the biomass, the leaves and everything else, can also be broke down into a biodiesel. And then the stalk, you break out the fibers from the cellulose. They used to do that with what's called the hemp break. Y'all should look up the hemp break. Still pictures of hemp breaks that break the fibers from the cellulose down in Kentucky, where it was the number one and still is the number one cash crop, except now they smoke it. They don't break it. But once you separate those fibers from the cellulose, the fibers then can make cloth. The cellulose can either make paper with the paper pulps, or it can be turned into sugars with the new cellulose processing to make it into sugar. And then voila, you can turn it into alcohol and put it in my van. I'm Ethel runs on ethanol fuel. E85 today is corn. The corn farmers want to dump corn and they want to grow hemp. I slip and say marijuana. They know the difference.
Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
I take a toll, and all my cares go up in smoke.
Three generations of hemp, cannabis, marijuana prohibition greatly contribute to planetary deforestation, pollution, and ozone destruction. Let hemp compete in construction, paper, fiber, fuel, nutritional, and pharmaceutical corporations. Cannabis has been safe, efficient medicine for many illnesses throughout all generations and for natural relaxation. Still, we spend hundreds of billions of dollars and throw away our constitution to continue this insane persecution.
Over 10 million seriously ill patients must look for their medicine on the streets. They, their friends, relatives, and physicians constitute a large segment of the 400,000 arrested yearly because of marijuana prohibition. Where is justice here? Where is freedom here? Stop arresting sick people. Stop putting innocent people in jail.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers the simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse the Ohio Rights Group and the Ohio Cannabis Rights Amendment.
Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
Hello, I'm Jim Burns, the Libertarian candidate for Cincinnati mayor. When my two Democratic opponents were in council, they voted the same way 830 times, including voting to sue gun manufacturers. I'm the only real fiscal conservative. I've been endorsed by Coast and am a lifelong NRA member. If you want a real choice in November, vote for Jim Burns in the primary on Tuesday, September 10th.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse Jim Burns for Cincinnati mayor.
Paid for by Jim Burns, campaign for Liberty brother William Moore Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse Jim Burns for Cincinnati mayor.
You throw me up and smoke me when I die.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Marijuana, let's remember, folks, marijuana is a slang term for the buds off of plants that have been nurtured to be stronger medicine. Mexicans, Spanish slang in the streets was marijuana. Americans was grass, and that spread, or weed, and all the different slang.
And I've
marijuana
heard, too, that the
Spanish slang for the plant parts that we smoke. Now, you into rock and roll? This is Hemp Rock. You into rock and roll?
Hemp Rock. A bit.
Hotel California with the Eagles?
I remember that very well.
Okay, the opening couple of lines is, as he's driving down the road, he smells the sweet smell of Calitas in the air. You know what that is?
I do not.
You can go to Straight Dope and find the answer. Straight Dope is about anything you want to know about. And Calitas are the buds of marijuana cannabis plants. Well, or the hemp plant.
when a little growing. Education as well as entertainment
it's
tonight.
It's the smell of the flower of the Calita. They're smelling the flowers.
And I've heard, too, that the hemp plant will grow very well on soil and terrain that you could not grow corn or wheat or some other crop.
Anything else without pesticides. Marijuana plants, hemp plants, we say marijuana, let's stick with the cannabis plant. The cannabis plant, when it grows, it helps make the soil stronger. They have used it where there's mudslides, things like that, in places where they're allowed to do that. It also can help rebuild the soil. It's one of the plants that has been used over in Chernobyl where the fallout was to help somewhat fix the environment to the point that it is at least.
And I heard, too, when they created the marijuana prohibition laws, it was very racist-based. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, you know, as I read on a blog today, this past week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a young African-American kid, 6 years old, was kicked out of school for her dreads because that may cause a distraction. And the rules are that hairstyles such as dreads, afros, blah, 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 mohawks, all the stuff is forbidden. And I'm like going, if that isn't a racist hairdo comment. So I want to know if some Jewish kid that happens to have curly hair ends up with a little bit of a fro, are they going to throw the kid out? Maybe not Jewish, maybe somebody else. The kid just happens to have curly hair. Is that going to be a fro that's thrown out, or is it just the African-American kids with the fros and the dreads? What if the white kid has dreads? Are they going to kick him out? I don't know. I believe that the ACLU would be picking up that case. So the point is that it is in our society, and back before they outlawed the marijuana usage and subsequently hemp, right before that they had prohibition of alcohol that lasted 10 years. That ended, and within a few years they went, okay, now we know how to do it. You know how everybody says, how come they haven't learned their lesson with prohibition and try not to try to prohibit other drugs like marijuana? And I say, what do you mean, how come they didn't learn their lesson? I think they learned their lesson so well that the first time they did it against ethanol to break the ethanol market. Because what came in after prohibition, as soon as it started, well, we can't have alcohol at our pumps for our cars. The drunks are going to be wanting to drink the fuel. We have to get rid of it. And then came the oil industry. But we have this other source of fuel. A little bit of altering in the motors, and they run on the other fuel.
Well, see? I will tell you.
And in 10 years, they learned how to prohibit something so well that they went, okay, now we're done. Now everybody can start drinking again. But now it's the other one, the rest of the competition, not only pharmaceutical, paper pulp. Okay. There was also the oil industry that was behind it. Lots of industries got together and urged Congress that, oh, my God, we have to outlaw that horrible marijuana plant from Mexico because all the black men and the Mexican men are trying to lure the white women to get high and have sex. And well, that's what they used. It was all a scam, Jim.
Yeah.
Nothing but a scam. And it doesn't just take a pothead like me to tell the world, or anybody listening for that matter, or yourself, that that's where it came from. We have known this for years. There's a book called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. I urge you to find. You can go find the whole book online and read it at jackherr.com, H-E-R-E-R.com, jackherr.com. Most people listen to this show know who Jack is. He's since died a number of years ago. His book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. You know the story? The Emperor doesn't have any clothes
on. I do know the story.
And that's the gist of the book, but he exposes the conspiracy of the question that you just asked. How did they do this? This is how, and this is why it's competition.
That's the basis of the prohibition, to protect the oil industry.
Absolutely.
And to persecute minorities, Mexicans.
Absolutely.
And blacks. Well, I will tell you, when I'm out campaigning for mayor in the black community, they want marijuana legalized.
Fantastic.
Now, they see what an utter hypocrisy it is that alcohol is legal, and here marijuana, which is actually beneficial to you, is illegal, and they're tired of being harassed by the police. I do have a policy I'm recommending to the city of Cincinnati police called Don't Ask, Don't Smell.
I love that. Say that again.
Don't ask, don't smell.
Oh, my God, Jim. Brilliant. Brilliant.
So when the police stop a car because the taillight is out, or they stop a car because the registration is expired, go ahead, write them a ticket for that, but do not go up to the car, ask them to wind the window down, try and smell for marijuana. Don't use it as an excuse
probable
to
cause.
Do a probable cause for a search. write them the ticket for the offense you stopped them, and let them go on their way. What do you think of that, Lynn?
I think it's brilliant, but you must understand that the rulings of the Supreme Court allow them to do that.
Well,
it's unfortunate, but this has been made into law, and the cops know this. So I suggest that you do it as a campaign of education, so other people that aren't being exposed to these kind of pullovers and being harassed understand what's going on, because there are people dying. This is happening in people's homes now. No-knock warrants are getting people and their dogs killed. It is ridiculous what is going on in this world, and especially in this country, of what's going on. And I commend you for what you're doing. And here's something that people need to also know about if they didn't already know. Although I say most people listening to my show probably know about this. This is so broad of information. It's amazing. Of course, Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN with his documentary called Weed. Did you get a chance to see it?
I did watch it in its entirety twice.
Wonderful. Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm so glad that we have a doctor like him to do it. I will say this, though. I didn't know that he was on Craig Ferguson on The Late Late Show back in June, before we knew that show was coming out, and he was just in early promotion, and it reran a couple of weeks ago. And I urge everybody to go on YouTube. You can find this on YouTube. It's Craig Ferguson with Dr. Sanjay in June. And he asked him, so what's coming up, this documentary you got? And he says, well, it's called Weed, and he goes on to talk about it. And if you watched it twice, you know that he didn't really mention the old stuff from 70 years ago and the scam that was used against people of color and all this other crap. He didn't mention any of that in the documentary. And I and people like me question, so what really does he know? How much has he figured out? He revealed that on Craig Ferguson, Jim. He told the world watching Craig Ferguson, you want to know what really happened? It was basically, he says, it was a scam 70 years ago. They went after people of color, blah, blah, blah. And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, if Jack Hare were alive, he would be jumping up and down for joy if he could.
Okay. It's amazing. Our system of government is so dysfunctional. Yes. Even though all the evidence is in it, the benefits of marijuana, they still cannot re-legalize it. It's just appalling to me. And that's one of the reasons I'm running for mayor, because I am very much in the forefront of the fight to re-legalize marijuana.
Yeah.
The community wants it. There's still a few, I'll call them old farts, who still think marijuana is such a big,
there's
dangerous thing.
There's young farts doing the same thing, trust
well,
me. It's anybody that has believed the lie and just doesn't want to see the truth.
Well, when we're out petitioning, though, it just touches my heart. We had a woman from Westwood Drive who is suffering from...
MS?
MS. Suffering from MS.
Yeah,
she had to wear a pack of ice packs and drove up there, thus parked, and came all the way from out here in Westwood to Clifton to sign that. It's a little tears running. I'm so happy to sign this. I hope it passes. There's so many stories like that we hear over and over again when we're out petitioning.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, you are running for mayor, and I know that this issue is not the only thing. So in reference to that, I'm curious to know if you've seen more support for your run for mayor this time while there's a petition drive going on at the same time than you have in past elections you've ran for?
Well, you know,
that's hurt you, do you think?
Libertarians are kind of accountant types, and we usually look, well, freedom is more efficient, and people will live better, and there'll be better jobs. And I talked about those, you know, kind of math things during the early parts of my campaign. And as an incidental, I said, well, you know, I'm also in favor of re-legalizing marijuana. You're what?
Yeah.
And we also handed out about 1,000 ice cream cones out in the neighborhood.
Nice.
And on my trailer
North College Hill or something,
a lot of the communities around the city.
Okay.
And on my trailer where we had the ice cream stand mounted, it said, regulate marijuana like wine. And these people would come up, you don't really mean that. You're running for mayor and you believe that? I says, I damn sure do. And they were just so excited about that, because all their lives they have believed that marijuana should be regulated, maybe just like wine, so you could get it at the liquor store in the wine section of the grocery.
Why not? That's right.
And to have a candidate running for mayor that believes this, they says, I'm voting for you.
Now, I want to make 2 points back to what we're really here to talk about, because although you do support this issue that I've supported for many, many years, and I thank you for that, I'm sorry that it's taken this long for us to know about you. Unfortunately, the rest of the media kind of you know, blackballs you.
Some
let's
media
say.
Desert.
Okay,
yes.
It is. They do the same thing throughout every campaign that Gatewood Galbraith ran in the Kentucky area. And let's face it, I've myself and others put on rallies throughout the 90s. And then from 2003 on, I think I skipped 1 year until the last couple of years I had to skip on doing million marijuana marches through downtown, events to raise awareness, radio show, things like that. And yet you still didn't know who we were. So thank you for going, I'm giving out marijuana plants, because that made the other media go, oh, maybe we should cover this guy. What's he doing? And that's how I heard about you. So let's talk about the mayor's race for a minute, because that's really why we got on this quickly, because I apparently was high and didn't realize that the people on council now, including one of the candidates who I love and adore and normally support, but I'm so angry over a couple of the issues that she has done in our town as of late, that that's why you have my support.
Well, thank you.
Okay, and of course, I'm talking about Vice Mayor Roxanne Qualls, who in fact supports this issue, always has, and has helped us throughout the years when she could, if necessary, when she was on council. So on that, let's establish that. But there's a couple other things. One being, she was part of the people that passed the ordinances that make housing a criminal court situation, where people that don't get their gutters fixed quick enough get fined thousands of dollars, never being able to pay them or then get the stuff fixed. And then the next thing you know, they have a criminal charge and can't get a job in order to fix the stuff. And then the city goes, oh, well, you can't do it. Oh, now it's on the demolition list and you're a criminal. Yep. Over things like gutters, people not getting them fixed.
And the federal government gives the city of Cincinnati $15,000 for every house they tear down.
Yeah, and but they charge somebody else $50,000 to tear them down if they're ever going to get paid. Now, I understand that there's some buildings where there's slumlords that do crazy things, but they are targeting people of color, people that are older, okay, people that have no money. And it's not about the slumlords, because some of the slumlords have the money and can fight their bullshit, but don't really fix what they need to fix. And they're hassling people that aren't being landlords. Some of them might be, some of them aren't. I know both that are being hassled. And so I think that there should be a level of stuff that should be criminal, and they need to get some of the minor stuff out of the courts. Some of these judges are even like rolling their eyes about some of this stuff, like, oh, you're a criminal because you didn't fix the gutter and now your house is going to get torn down. That is one of the contentions I have, and Roxanne was part of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that we know. Now, the next thing is what the main thing is I want to talk to you about, but with that, I also want you, aside from the marijuana issue and the drug war issue, what other stuff do you want people to know that you, as a libertarian candidate, believe the city of Cincinnati should do? I know that in some of the ads that are going to be running, you mentioned the car downtown, the train, what? Streetcar.
The streetcar, yes.
And the meters and things like that. So I do want to talk about some of those things just briefly, and then I want to get into the biggest issue of all, what is coming up this coming Tuesday on September.
September 10th is the mayoral primary, yes.
The mayoral primary. I want to talk about that. That's the bigger story of why I'm now really pissed off at Roxanne.
Yes.
So real quick, let's cover some of the other things that really are
As far as the streetcar, libertarians believe there should be like a separation of church and state and separation of government and commercial enterprises.
Such as a streetcar.
If there's going to be a streetcar, you know, if they weren't going to build the streetcar, I bet some private enterprise guy would get a little minivan, maybe one that runs off ethanol, and drive a circuit around downtown to the bars and the restaurants and the casino.
Somebody that had something like that going, and it was on, I forget what her fuels were, but I don't think it made it after a while.
I can't think
of her name. Susan Angel was doing that. People can look her up.
But somebody else would try.
Yeah.
They might have an old school bus, decorate it really cool, run a circuit around downtown. If you want us to stop at your bar or restaurant, you pay us $50, $250 a month or whatever the charge would be. There might be a modest charge for the people using the service, but if they're going to put in the streetcar, spend $130 million, and the money coming in from the ridership is not even going to pay their overhead. It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I think that there probably could be something done where a company bids and gets it, and then they pay for all of the stuff if there has to be something in the road done for the streetcar, and that the city gets benefit from it, but that a private entity wins the bid, not during corruption, maybe things like making sure it's legit, and like the metro, it'd be a private entity.
One of their huge mistakes is having steel rails buried into the street. Yeah. They could have that running today if they had put it on rubber tires.
Yeah.
And if they weren't using taxpayer money to pay for this, some private enterprise person would be running around. It could even be the horse-drawn carriages on weekends. Could be rubber-tired cars during the week.
Whatever.
And you know, the streetcars they're putting in, you can outwalk them. They go so slow that it's faster to get somewhere walking. And also, if the streetcar ever runs into your car, even if it's their fault, it's your fault.
Really?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, they have a special section in the streetcar ordinance that no matter what, if there's an accident, it's not the streetcar's fault. It's your fault for not getting out of their way.
Well, unless they have it like a train track or things like that where they're crossing, they block and it's not like then the car ran into the train or if the car got stuck on the track, things like that.
It is out in Portland. Yeah. If that train runs into something, it's your fault for not getting out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some logic to that. I'd have to really, really think on that for a few minutes, on depending on how it was structured, where, what part of the road it's going down, that kind of thing. I guess all those factors I would have to factor in before I would say that that's a good idea or a bad idea.
Should we switch over to the parking meters?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, I am adamantly opposed against the privatization of the parking meters and parking garages. In fact, I was the top petitioner. I collected over 800 signatures to put it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, this next week, Coast is going to be suing the city of Cincinnati to force them to go back and repass the ordinance. But now the ordinance that we have now is totally different than what they voted on those many months ago.
Yeah, and I also just saw a headline this evening that said another judge has ruled against going back and putting it on referendum or something, I think was what it was.
I'm not familiar with those details.
But they're allowed to go forward. They're not stopping.
Then there's just the details of that. Metering till 9 o'clock at night in neighborhoods, putting up additional meters in neighborhoods where there's a lot of parking.
Yeah.
All of this money that they want to get in from the parking meters is mostly coming from increase in writing tickets.
Yeah.
And those tickets are going to be written largely to people who cannot afford it.
That's right.
They can also, if you pull up to a parking meter and you're just sitting there waiting for a friend, within a few minutes that meter automatically writes you a ticket.
Crazy.
It's just totally bizarre. And obviously the rates are going to go much higher also.
And that's the thing that I there's some areas that you can't even use it unless you have a credit or a debit card. And then it's like $4 every half hour. It's like, what in the world? Or maybe it's $2 every half hour. It's outrageous.
Well, that's the reason they have to go to the credit card is because of the Federal Reserve has been inflating the currency. And now if you're going to park for 3 hours, you got to have like 30 quarters. Nobody's going to have 30 quarters.
That's right.
And then within a couple, 3 hours, the meter is full, and they got to send somebody to empty it because the quarter is so worthless.
Or get one of the thugs to break them like they had been and break the tops off and take the money.
Well, I think there's going to be a big problem with vandalism here in Cincinnati,
sure,
like there is in Chicago. When the rates went up really high, the people in the neighborhood get mad. They look and see if somebody's around, and they take a hammer to the thing.
Just break it because it's in front of there where they're living, and then they can't park on their own street.
They also take the swipe cards like you use at a motel to gain access to your room. They dribble a little super glue on it, slide it in, and leave it.
Wow.
Oh, there's a thousand different ways to destroy these things. People are not going to put up with these in their neighborhoods, and they're going to be spending millions of dollars
fixing them
because people are so outraged that they're there and they're metering till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the most important thing. What is coming up again? This is this coming Tuesday, September 10th, here in Cincinnati. And this is the first time this is happening, correct?
No, they've had the strong mayor proposal about 10 years ago. It came in, I think, in actually passed in 1999, and it was first implemented in the year 2000. And when we voted for a strong mayor, the first sneaky thing they did, they put it in the May primary ballot when very, very few came out to vote.
Exactly.
And they had like a $100,000 ad campaign in favor of this. There was no opposition because the people that was benefiting from it paid for all the advertising, and it passed by just a few hundred votes. So just a few hundred votes passed the strong mayor proposal, and buried in the fine print, if there's two or more candidates, there's going to be a primary. But that's totally wrong, because running for mayor is a nonpartisan election.
Right.
Primaries are for Democrats and Republicans to pick out their candidates
exactly.
to run each against each other in the fall. There is no place for a primary in a nonpartisan election.
And can I just say that I do remember that thing being on, and I remember at the time supporting it because I didn't know that little provision. If I would have known that was buried in the provision, I wouldn't have voted for it.
The devil is in the details.
Always
and
is.
Roxanne Qualls hid that in there because it does two things for them. This coming Tuesday the 10th, Queen Noble and I will be swept aside. We'll be flushed down the political toilet. And it'll just be Roxanne Qualls and John Cranley.
So two Dems running against
two Dems
each other.
With similar values.
Yeah.
So there's no real choice for voters who are libertarians, independents, fiscal conservatives,
ridiculous.
Republicans. There's just two Democrats running for that office.
And to me, it is ludicrous. Again, primaries are for parties to pick their candidate. You've already been picked. You have the signatures to be on the November ballot. And suddenly they go, oops, there's a couple other people, so we're going to follow that provision. And now, tell us real quick who Queen Noble is, because I don't know a lot about her. I think I saw one email.
Queen Noble is a very interesting person.
Yeah.
She has moments of clarity, which are just amazing. She doesn't like the Democrats. She doesn't like the Republicans. She sees them as ruining this country and ruining her life. And then she calls them MFers and SOBs and CUNTS and goes off on this kind of crazy tangent. So it's unfortunate that...
Is it crazy or is it just her dumping her emotions? Because let me tell you something, Jim.
Yeah.
I see the same things that you and Queen Noble see. And one of the reasons why I do radio instead of what you're doing... Now, when I'm on regular radio, I can't, but because this is an online radio station, we can actually say that Queen Noble calls these people motherfuckers and motherfucking bitches.
She absolutely
okay?
does.
Okay, and so I can assure you, I understand her angst and why she can't refrain from it, and that's why I don't run for a political office, because I would be just like the Queen Noble.
Would
and
you?
Not be so noble, and I would call them, you fucking bastards, we see through the bullshit, you are not wearing any fucking clothes.
Yes. Yes,
right.
I agree. I 2 years ago, I took her out to lunch at White Castle.
Yeah.
And she really explained very clearly about her positions. And the people there, go Queen, go Queen.
Nice.
We hear you, girl. We hear you, girl. So
good.
She really does connect with the African-American
sure.
community. And she has insights where the people running City Hall and you know, are goddamn son of a bitch and motherfuckers
they
that are screwing us by manipulating the system like Roxanne Qualls did to get rid of myself and the other competition. And we're assured there's just going to be a Democrat elected in the fall. And screw it if people don't have a real choice and they don't get to hear alternatives during the campaign all the way to the November election.
Exactly. It is... you know, I hate to throw the word evil around, but in essence, wouldn't we have said that if the Republicans did this kind of game, that that's evil? So I think that whether it's evil, I mean, whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's an evil move to get other people out that might have a say. And that is not what this country was about. And that, you know, if a party can't keep it together, that's the party's fault. And then somebody can run as another party or another or an independent or whatever. I am so sick to death up to here of this crap where it's the two-party system. You know, let's face it, there's countries that are at war. They have more than two parties and they're all fighting. And then there's other countries that have more that aren't fighting. So it's not about numbers. It's about where is the true support. And right now it's a major game going on. So there's, like I say, I sort of support some of the stuff about the streetcar, but not most of it. You know, and let me just say this. I think that the city manager needs to either have his paycheck cut in half or less than half, or he needs to be fired and sent somewhere else, and let's get somebody that can do the right job for less money, okay?
And we should cut the number of lawyers at the city of Cincinnati. It's over 200 lawyers. How does the city need 200? Let me take a minute and tell you also about another candidate, Stacy Smith. She collected almost 1,000 signatures to meet the 500-signature requirement, and Secretary of State John Husted prohibits our Board of Election from pre-checking her signatures. Unfortunately, she had several of the pages of signatures were collected by someone who did not live in the city of Cincinnati. She was not warned about this by the Board of Elections.
Of course not.
And she missed. And she is a wonderful, articulate person. She deserves to be on the ballot. But because John Husted manipulates the system so that minor party candidates have a harder time getting on because they can't get this pre-check, in the state of Ohio, since he passed that rule, over 30 candidates have missed the ballot because the Board of Elections, they have like a gag rule in the Board of Elections. Kathy and the rest of the people are absolutely wonderful, and they want to help the candidates to make sure that they follow all the rules to get on the ballot. John Husted says, no, you can't tell them that. Candidate has to go read the law themselves. You're not allowed to help them to understand what they need to do to fulfill the requirements
that might be
and make sure they're
advice
on the ballot.
They put that under, they're not allowed to do any advising.
It's just a sophistry where they manipulate the system to get rid of the new candidates, the minor party candidates, and those are the people really, really need. Stacy Smith is so sincere in her heart and desire to participate and help make the system better. And instead of helping her, where she has like no staff, very small budget, to help her out, I actually helped pay her filing fee, and I gave her $300 to help with the petitioning. Wow. So I want more people to participate.
Absolutely.
The Democrats and Republicans want less so that they can maintain their corrupt minority.
And the sad part is, with that, there's not even a Republican candidate. There's two Democrats. And so let me just give you a quick overview, folks, and you, Jim, of where these other two candidates are. And like I said, I love Roxanne. She's been there for us. She totally opposed the marijuana ordinance that was on the books in Cincinnati for 5 years that was allowing cops to arrest and they could ask and smell. And then if they found marijuana, they could arrest you and then take you downtown, cost money, cost time. They had to go to court. All so they could find guns because they claimed that anybody with marijuana, of course, all the marijuana guys downtown have guns. So that's how you're going to get the guns. So it was all, let's get the guns off the street. And it went on the books for 5 years. Roxanne was part of the council that helped overturn that. And that was led by one of our African-American councilmen.
Cecil Thomas.
He's the one that got it on the books.
Right.
And then was the fifth vote to overturn it a few years ago in the budget. He helped to actually overturn his own bill.
The city got tired of sending checks to the county for the extra court.
Wendell Young. Yes. And so it got overturned. And in the beginning, when first it was David Pepper, before Cecil Thomas got it actually passed, one of those votes that helped get that passed was John Cranley, the other Democrat running. So if you want to know those candidates, yes, Roxanne Qualls supports the marijuana issue. Whether or not she's going to jump in there and go, okay, let's legalize, I don't think she's that brave, but she supports us. Okay, she does, I guarantee you, support that part of what you support. So you're more like her than Cranley is, although he's not necessarily opposed. He thought it was going to help to get the guns off the street, and he supported it, although he claims, I've heard, that he doesn't support that now, that he wouldn't do it again, and he's not trying to get rid of marijuana.
So, well, I did talk to John at an event a few weeks ago, and I said, John, are you a favor of re-legalizing marijuana?
And he said, we're radio, Jim, not TV like Lincoln, where you can't shake your head, they won't see you.
No. So he gave a nonverbal no by shaking his head back and forth sideways.
Right. Yeah. Well, he also said in front of me and another person back then in 06 when he helped get this passed. Now, you know, I think the drug war is an utter failure, but I really believe this new ordinance is going to help us find all the guns in Cincinnati. And I went, excuse me, I need to say something. Councilman, do you know the meaning of insanity? And he kind of, again, shook his head, and I went, you do know that if you keep banging your head against the wall, you're just going to get bruised. So what makes you think that all of these laws that have never worked, suddenly this one's going to be the magic bullet? I said, you're crazy, and it ain't going to work. And again, he was already off council.
Well, I want your listeners to know, too, that those of us that support Second Amendment rights or self-defense, both Roxanne Qualls and John Cranley voted to use taxpayer money to sue gun manufacturers. They wasted about $2 million before the case was thrown out.
Wow. And I have to say this. This takes me to the things I want to say real quick about your ads on other radio entities, which is fantastic that I kind of helped give you stuff.
Well,
with
thank
Willie,
you very much.
Willie Nelson Teapot and Willie Nelson
comments
wonderful. On the end of it. So although we didn't play it right now while you're here, the listener will know, of course, because they're listening to this recorded show, that I have played some of these clips throughout the show and at the end of the show, along with the endorsement from Willie Nelson that we've made up for you from the Teapot, because we are, aside from Hemp Rock, we're also the Willie Nelson Teapot Party for the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky chapter here in this area, as well as Cincinnati Marijuana Law. Now, you can go to CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com and hear these clips, as well as see information on Jim and actually a city council candidate. One, Edison didn't get enough signatures, but Tim Dornbusch?
Tim Dornbusch.
Dornbusch.
B-U-S-C-H. Tim is a very strong proponent. He's been out there when he was collecting signatures to get on the ballot as a council candidate. He was also collecting the signatures to get the medical marijuana and
fantastic.
The industrial hemp on the ballot. He's a very big proponent
great.
Of that.
He and that election is November.
That's November 5th.
That's
the
November
mayoral
5th.
Primaries is coming Tuesday, September 10th.
Yeah, and here's the issue with that. Of course, what's going to happen? We got the two Democrats, yourself, Queen. Nobody's going to even know who Queen is. Her, you know, and it's just pathetic. But the question is how many people? If I'm dumb enough to go, wait a minute, what's September? What? Primaries? I thought that was just the Democratic primaries. What's going on? How many people are not even going to know to go out next Tuesday and vote? And that's going to hurt everything. So I just hope that people do, they understand, or they go, well, what's these two Democrats? And instead of voting for the Democrat, they vote for you. Okay. But, you know, I have to just say this. People need to understand that without your ability to be on the main election, that it's kind of all over for us on Tuesday if you don't make that November
ballot. Right now, people are not listening to the mayoral debate. In fact, there was no debate. There was a candidate forum, and since then there has been nothing. And now there are dozens and dozens of candidate appearances in the next 2 weeks after the primary. I really got to speak against the League of Women Voters. Instead of coming out and making a principled stand against the mayoral primary, they're waiting till after that to sponsor any events. I have to criticize the Cincinnati Enquirer. They have not taken their editorial page to come out. We could save $400,000. We can broaden participation. We can hear a real debate over the issues instead of John Cranley and Roxanne Qualls just snipping at each other.
Yeah. And let's put this out also, that one of those debates is going to be on September 17th after the primary this coming week. And I just have to say, and I can because this is not on air radio, that they are really fucked to do what they're doing to other candidates, and then they have the balls to have a debate on September 17th, which is the day the Constitution was signed into law in our country.
Boy, how pathetic can that be?
How pathetic is that? That, excuse me, is fucking pathetic.
It is.
And that's
just
me venting and why I'm not in your position, because I would be going into the councils saying exactly that, and they would be thinking I'm English.
Well, if any of your listeners out there have ever thought of running for public office, we are starting starting an organization called 1% for Liberty. And if you're a liberty-oriented person, you want to re-legalize marijuana, there's other things that you really dislike that the government's doing you think they shouldn't do, get in contact with me. We're going to have a website with all the libertarian and liberty-oriented candidates and organizations. In fact, I'd like to let Lynn Wilson know here, around the first of the year, we're going to have a series of awards for people who are active in promoting, we call them defenders of liberty. And Lynn is going to be nominated to receive one of our awards. And I'm certain with her long history of activity, her lifetime achievement, that there will be an award at that event for her.
I just can't tell you how honored I feel. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, again, one of the things that I like to do with this organization, whether it's on air on radio or Access, which is going to be gone in Cincinnati by the end of the year, or even online, whatever, is to help network and to help get people out there. You know, I don't run for office, so my job is to put the word out about others and educate people on the actual truths of this plant and the drug war. I can't do it, of course, by myself. Never said I could. And I'm so thankful that we have people like you or LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I mean, if the cops can't say, or people, if the people aren't going to believe somebody like me, you think they'll believe the cops. I guess that's my point in what I'm trying to say. So there are organizations like that, one end of the spectrum to the other, and then we also have to have people like you. And I have to say, Jim, that is one of the reasons why when I heard about you, I was like, oh my God, we have to support this guy. And that's why I said we're going to get Willie's endorsement, because that is what Willie Nelson does and what our chapters do, is support and endorse politicians.
Well, it was totally amazing when I walked onto the Willie Nelson tour bus, and I hear you back there, and I got to meet him and take my picture with him in a marijuana plant, a picture with you and him, and then I hear you tipping, this is Willie Nelson in the Teapot Party, and we endorse Jim Burns for mayor of Cincinnati. Thank you for doing that. That's made a huge difference, and we put it in all of our ads.
I mean, seriously, you don't know how it warms my heart to know that I have that ability, and other people around the country, to say, hey, Willie, will you endorse these guys? And he's like, let's do it.
What a great thing.
This is his idea. He's fantastic. He has always been there for Gatewood Galbraith, so this is just him expanding what he's already been doing, except endorsing other candidates besides just Gatewood, who, as you know, we lost a year and a half ago. And so thank you for stepping in there, even though you've been out there the whole time. See, that's what happens with the blackballing of the other media.
Yeah, when the media doesn't cover me, they don't know what they've been out there. I've run for United States Congress 4 times.
Wow.
I ran for Cincinnati City Council 3 times, twice for state representative. I've run for school board. So I've really been out there. But, well, Jim can't win, so we're not going to cover him. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Of course it is. And that's exactly what they did to Gatewood. So you just keep plugging away.
Well, thank you.
And this is what I believe. Whether you win or not, and whether or not they actually cover a lot of the stuff, people know you're out there. The word is being spread. People feel safer when there's more numbers, and without you and folks like yourself leading, the numbers will never reach critical mass, even if you might not ever get on yourself. It is happening. Look, Gatewood never won. He ran numerous times, governor 4 times, also ag commissioner in 83, Congress, attorney general. You know, he's an attorney, so he can run for attorney general, that kind of stuff. Never won. They called him the perpetual candidate. He dies a year and a half ago, and now Kentucky said, you know, I think we fucked up. Maybe we better pass this hemp thing.
Yes, yes.
And they did. And now that the government, recently the federal government this week, said they are not going to harass the states that are going to try to grow. So Kentucky and Rand Paul and all of them in the hemp commission out of Kentucky said, then we're going to start planting.
Absolutely. I can't wait till we see our first hemp harvest.
Absolutely.
In Kentucky. It'll be all over the national media.
That's
and the
right.
Other states will say, we can do this too.
And Gatewood will be smiling with that joint in his mouth. Now, very quickly, I want to say this. I don't know exact details, but the OhioRights.org group doing the petitioning for the marijuana hemp bill, of course, they have to get 680-some thousand signatures before or by sometime next year so it can go on the 2014 ballot. They are in their promotional stages of getting things out there, and I've been talking to Linda, the local captain that's running the local 3 counties here, and they are working on a statewide tour of somebody that they've put out, so I'm allowed to say it. Cheryl Schumann, who started in Portsmouth, is a huge promotional person that's been out in just the regular business for years, is part of the community of California's medical and has been on Ricky Lake, numerous other shows. They have her coming in for a 5-city tour, and Linda is planning an event or a couple events around Cheryl being here, and this is going to take place. They're in the organizing stages, and I'm pretty sure I can let people know that it's probably going to be the 13th, I think it is, or whatever Sunday is before Columbus Day. I don't have a calendar in front of me. It's 13th or 14th, whatever the Sunday is prior to Columbus Day. But they will probably also be there on Monday gathering signatures. But it's probably going to be a rally for a couple hours with some music. Speakers like yourself, Cheryl Schumann is going to be the headlining speaker coming in from California to help the .org Ohio Rights Group with promoting this bill.
And we need all of your listeners to do something.
Absolutely.
It could be as simple as when you're at a dinner party or talking to a friend, hey, have you signed this petition yet?
Exactly.
All these people with medical issues really need this. And one of the big basis of this is the compassion we have for people who are sick and need relief from pain, whether they're having MS or whether they're undergoing chemotherapy or migraines.
Right.
We are the ones that have compassion for these people. So talk it up amongst your friends and
pass
neighbors. Call in to get a petition form. I will personally deliver petition forms if you want. My phone number is 513-708-0815. I answer my own phone, and we will deliver petition forms to your house. If you know someone who has MS or some other debilitating disease, likely they would like to have their friends and neighbors sponsored to circulate these petitions. So again, you can get in touch with me at 513-708-0815. I live in College Hill. It's centrally located, so whether you're in Price Hill or Mount Lookout or wherever, we'll be glad to get some petition forms over to you.
Absolutely. And one more time, let's give out your information online where they can find you in Facebook and at your website.
Yeah. The website is Jim Burns, and that's BERNS for mayor.com.
Is that for the number?
F-O-R.
F-O-R. Okay.
For mayor.com.
Okay.
And shortly, too, we will have our new website, 1% for Liberty.
Fantastic.
And we're going to have links to Ohio Rights Group, to Lynn Wilson, to the Teapot Party. It's a lot of very interesting places where you can go and find about other organizations and meetings. And we do encourage you to speak with your money.
Yes.
And Lynn could probably make numerous suggestions of organizations where you could pledge. Let's say you're making $30,000 a year. You would give like $10 or $15 a month out of your budget. Mm-hmm. That can do a lot of good. And we're going to have these organizations set up with PayPal, so you just sign it once, and every month $15 or $20 comes out of your checking account and to support this group. Because that's one of the things. The people we fight against have this huge stream of money
that's
coming in from the petroleum companies, from lawyers associations,
beer companies
who don't want us to succeed.
Right.
We got to counteract that by supporting our groups.
That's exactly
Well, Lynn,
right.
Thank you very, very much for having me here this evening. It's quite an honor to be on the radio with you. And I had no idea what a wonderful and charming person you are.
Well, and vice versa. And just real quick, just in case, I hope to have this up on Friday. Today is Thursday. We're recording this. And so when will the Lincoln Ware TV show air that you were just recording tonight?
Yes, I was Lincoln. Just over there this evening.
Yeah.
It'll be Sunday morning at 6:30 on Channel 64.
Oh, that's right. 64 covers it. That's
and
right.
Tomorrow morning, Jeff Hirst on Newsmakers is recording, and I think his is like 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, so
see. Kudos to these two reporters out there that are at least getting you out there. And, of course, you did get on WKRC with Brian in the morning or something?
Yeah, I've been on the Brian Thomas show. Several mornings. It's a very good way to get the message out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a media desert. The media shouldn't focus just on the people who are the front runners and can win. They need to take each of the candidates seriously.
That's right.
Roxanne Qualls and John Cranley got front page articles in the Cincinnati Enquirer. I got buried on like 5 or 6 pages down, a little black and white article. It was very nicely written, but I was demanding to be on the front page of the Enquirer.
Along with them.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, what about City Beat? Did they talk to you at all?
City Beat has given us some good coverage. Right. I complained a couple weeks ago, and I had a graphic picture to go with it that the Cincinnati media had thrown me under the bus, and there was a picture of me.
Oh, yes. I wanted to tell you that was fantastic. I loved the scene with the ketchup on your mouth. Being under the bus. It was fantastic.
It worked out very well, yeah. And we got like 3 good articles treating me as a serious candidate and not just, oh, Jim Burns is running too. I'm the only candidate with real serious ideas and proposals.
Right.
They just want to rehash and continue doing what we've done in the past. And like you said a few moments ago, if we keep running the city of Cincinnati like we have in the past, it's going to continue to fail.
That's right. Now, I'm pretty sure that the issue came out today. My friend called me yesterday and said the new city beat, so I hope she didn't mean last week since she caught it at the end, because they're usually out by Tuesday or Wednesday for today's issue coming out. She said front page is about the bill. So go look for City Beat, folks.
I'll pick one up.
And I haven't seen it myself. She was getting them for me, and it's supposed to be about the Ohio Rights Group and the new petition that's going around for medical marijuana and hemp. So with that, of course, you can find them at ohiorights.org. You can also find them with the Hamilton County, Butler County, and Claremont County chapter in Facebook, where Linda is running that, and she's our local captain. You can also contact her and volunteer on their website, as well as Jim, who's doing a bang-up job with the petition as well. And so I hope that...
Oh, I want to mention one more thing.
Go right ahead.
This next spring, we'd like to expand the number of people taking advantage of marijuana, and we're going to be handing out 1,000 pots with soil and fertilizer. Some people may plant tomato plants in there, but some other people may choose a different herb, and we hope they do.
We hope they do, too.
So look, this spring you'll be seeing my van go around with the trailer behind it. We're going to have some excellent soil, a nice pot there, and people can put these on their back deck. If you do that, put some kind of little screen up, because... and actually, if you're growing 1 or 2 plants for personal use, your chances are you're not going to get cut at all. And if you do, it would just be a ticket like getting a parking violation.
Yeah, it all depends on how big and fat or how little those plants are. The bigger and fatter they are, the more they weigh, and that's what they go on for cultivation is the weight. And I heard recently that the state of Ohio finagled a way to where they can actually weigh the dirt and the plants wet.
Oh, my God. Well, let's hope they don't do that. And you want to be very discreet about this. We don't want anybody.
Absolutely.
But for personal use, and we may have to lobby so they don't weigh the dirt. I mean, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we have to dismantle this drug war piece by piece. And running for office is the one way to do that. So I thank you again. No matter what happens this Tuesday, folks, if you don't know, you need to. If you are registered already, you need to get out to your polling place this Tuesday and vote in that mayoral primary. One last question. Are there other things on this ballot next Tuesday? It's just this.
Just the mayoral primary.
Unbelievable.
It wastes $400,000 of taxpayers' money, and it also creates a loophole for John Cranley and Roxanne Qualls. They were limited in getting $1,200 per contributor, but that's for the primary. Now that the primary's over, they can go back and get another $1,200 from the same people. So they're circumventing a campaign finance limit that was passed by having a primary.
Wow. I just get amazed every day by something new, and I just cannot believe this. So now I would like to come revisit this after the election. Depending on what happens, regardless, rather, of what happens, I want to revisit this with you. And just have one specific thing to bring back at that time is how many people actually came out and voted, and then what the numbers of the votes
were. Well, last year when I ran for United States Congress, 10,000 people came out to vote for me. It took 200,000 to win, but 10,000 people purposely went to the polls and picked Jim Burns running for United States Congress. There's a lot of people that support us.
I was probably one of them.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it.
I vote libertarian if I can. Wherever I see a libertarian or an independent, things like that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And thank you very much again. Well, listen, Jim, I know you got to get home and get some dinner going, and then you got to get back over to get things going tomorrow. So I really want to thank you, and I appreciate you coming to the Hemp Rock headquarters, WEED Radio Network Studios, of course. And one more time, it is jimburnsformayor.com,
yes.
Correct?
Jim Burns, B-E-R-N-S, for mayor.com.
Wonderful.
Or you can reach me by phone with the local area code, and then 708-0815. Every person who's listening here should have a petition form, get at least a sheet filled. We got to make sure that we have this on the ballot next September.
Absolutely. And if you forgot his name or any of the information, you can also go to hemprock.com, find the link at the top of the main page for the teapot party page, and all of our pictures and sound bites with Willie Nelson's endorsements are all there. You can also go to CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com and find all the same information with links to Jim's information and Tim, who's also running for City Council, Tim Dornbush. So you want to vote for him as well with the Libertarians. And Jim, thank you again. And you know I want you to win on Tuesday.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a wonderful thing you've done. And how many years have you been doing this?
Well, I started doing radio at WAIF Radio. My first show was Christmas of 92, and then I started a monthly show in March of 93, eventually became a weekly show in 96 up through the year 2000 when dirty politics at that radio station pushed people like me, not because of my show, but because of the internal politics of their nonprofit. Myself and other people discovered some corruption going on, and we were the whistleblowers that got our shows cut. And over the next number of years, I kept trying to get back on the air. Few shows here and there, spattered in, covering for other people. That ended in 06, and then I decided to create the WEEDRadioNetwork.com. This radio studio, somewhere along the line, the local access started their own radio station, WVQC. I was one of the founding shows that helped launch that 3.5 years ago. And then, of course, thanks to the City Council's vote that slashed the budget of Media Bridges, Public Access, and Radio. So the city manager could have a $35,000 bonus and a 9% raise over his already $225,000 a year
wow.
salary. He said you have to cut the budgets of stuff, so we asked for $350,000. They said you get $150,000 this year and nothing next year. So Media Bridges said, well, folks, we can't afford to run, so if you want to keep this entity going, you got to start paying us $50 a month to use our facilities for radio and or TV. And I went, sorry, not me, and I left April 1st was my last day. They could not keep their station on the air. It was off for 2 months. I started hearing yesterday it's back on the air. I'm baffled, but the entire thing, as far as I am been informed through the Media Bridges Network, that they are shutting Cincinnati Public Access down, including their radio. 4 TV stations and a radio station will be shut down at the end of the year, and we can thank the City Council as it is today for that budget cut. So this is a lot more to me than just even marijuana here in the Cincinnati area, because of the corruption and the crap and all just the backbiting and the underhanded games like the mayoral primary race and all this kind of crap, blowing money for nothing, is why now there will not be public access in the city of Cincinnati after this year. And that breaks my heart, because I started TV Access with Hemp Rock TV in 92, long before I started the radio at the end of that same year. So that's kind of where things were for me.
Well, thank you for everything you've done, and thank you for having me here this evening.
Thank you, absolutely. And we will again revisit this next week. It's Hemp Rock Radio, of course. I'm the Happy Hemptress. You will be, of course, listening to this on WEEDRadioNetwork.com. You can also email us there or at HempRock.com. Thanks, and have a hempy day. Check out these clips coming up from Willie Nelson for Jim.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Hello, I'm Jim Burns, Libertarian candidate for mayor of Cincinnati. Roxanne Qualls and John Cranley voted together 830 times and used your tax money to sue gun manufacturers. I oppose the streetcar and selling the parking meters. I also think you should be able to grow marijuana on your back porch. Vote for me, Jim Burns, for mayor on Tuesday, September 10th.
Paid for by Jim Burns, campaign for Liberty brother William Moore, treasurer.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse Jim Burns for Cincinnati Mayor.
Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse the Ohio Rights Group and the Ohio Cannabis Rights Amendment.
Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
This has been Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress on
WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Find Hemp Rock Radio at WEEDRadionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on WEEDRadionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.